about to do now is something we have not done in quite a while. I mean, brand new maybe to our fill-in organist, but we're going to have some of the organist or a hymn sing. So at this time, I think we do better when we're all standing up, don't you? It's hard to sing when you're sitting down. You really? Let's all stand up. And find your favorite hymn and raise your hand. Okay, Stacy. 484. They may not show up on Wednesday night, mine.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world. with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Okay, Betty. 4:12. Try to get everybody from all the different categories. Rock.
Now turn in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel of Luke. In the 14th chapter, tonight we want to look at this portion of Scripture, we may find, I think, a real lesson for us. In verse 16 of chapter 14 in the Gospel of Luke, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time and to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused." I want you to see the setting here. Jesus is saying that, as he's talking now about the kingdom of heaven, that this man made a great supper. Many invitations had gone out. And after those who had already been bidden to this supper, then he had them to go and say, "Come now. It's all ready. It's all ready for you to come and enjoy." Now you would think that when you're invited to enjoy a big banquet meal, that unless there is something really pressing, you're going to go and enjoy it because you like to have this festive occasion. And most Americans like to eat, and a lot eat too many, too much. But we won't get sidetracked on that. And folks like to go to these affairs. It's a part of our way of life. And in these days, there were those who had these big feast occasions, and many were invited. So this was something they understood. And many times when you go, you get to meet a lot of new people and to enjoy the fellowship of other people. And you know, I think that's something that's very important in the Christian life. And sometimes we really cheat ourselves by really not taking advantage of some occasions that we might go and meet new people and create new friends and to widen our span of friendship. And you know, let me say this at this point. One of the things that I'm real concerned about in my life, and one of the things that's even in my prayer life, is that the Lord will let me meet and touch as many people as possible while He lets me live on this earth. People from all walks of life. I don't want to live day in and day out just for me. I want this life to touch other lives, and therefore through the Christ that lives in me will radiate and come out and touch the lives of others. And this is one of the goals within my life that comes out. And this is why I accepted an invitation. I shared it with the nominating committee Monday night. Or was it Tuesday night? I forgot which night it was now. But we met just about every night. That this lovely Chinese couple who are Baptists, I don't know why they picked on me, but they wanted me to have their wedding. And it was the first Chinese wedding I had ever had the ceremony for. And it was in a different situation. It was on the New Spirit. Down in North, I told the nominating committee I was going to see Saturday. They wanted to know what they want our gutters made on there for.
That goes back into war days. But anyway, Ms. Hughes went, and she served as the mistress of ceremony, and we went, and I've never seen so many Chinese in one place at one time in all my life. But they, all of their friends and so forth, were there, and relatives from here and there, from Hong Kong and up New York and all around, and they had really prepared a great festive occasion, I'll tell you right now. And they were dressed in all of their finery and everything, and they had the middle deck of the ship was already reserved for this wedding party. And the other tourists, they had to stay below and come around and go upside. They were not permitted in here, not even in the dining hall. But it was another experience to be a part of a Chinese wedding and to have that fellowship. And I've never had so many hugs from Chinese people in all my life after it was over. They were very gracious, they were very humble, and it's an experience that Thelma and I will never forget. And the thing I think that I was trying to do, oh, the food was delicious and the boat ride was delicious and all of that was nice. But the thing of it is, I had opportunity to touch the lives of many people for my Lord and to leave that impression on their lives. And this is where you and I come in every day. And I'm hoping that this is what you may see something of tonight, as we begin to find what God wants us to do. Now, first of all, he sent these out, and this is where we come in going out and letting people know that things are ready. Now, you're going to hear probably some excuses that are going to be just about as good as these are right here. And we want to look at it. In verse 18, and they with one consent began to make excuse. I want you to notice the first one. The first man said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. That was a strange time, was it not? At supper time, when you were going to go for this evening meal with all of these host of people and friends, that just because you had purchased a piece of ground, let's say a farm, then you chose this time at dusk or at nighttime to go and survey and look over this piece of property that you had purchased. But these excuses really get better as we go along. In verse 19, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them or to test them, and so I pray thee have me excused. Well, it's just as silly as an excuse as was the first one. For who wants to go out late in the evening or at dusk again or at night and take some oxen that you have bought, and if we were to use it in our language of today, if you had bought some mules or horses that you were going to work on a farm, what a strange time to go out and try to harness up those newly acquired animals and hook them up and to see whether or not they would perform as they should, whether they would pull the wagon right or pull the plow straight, or if they knew how to G and haul like they are supposed to. But what a time it would be to go out and try these out. But then they move on to the next excuse, and this one really is a dilly. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. You notice here, he didn't say, I pray thee just to have me excused. He just flat out said, I can't come. He was under new management. Joe, did you learn that this week, son? You see, Joe and Denise got back from their honeymoon, and I'm not picking on you tonight, son. But where in the world would a young bride love to go more than to a big banquet supper? First, she could be shown off and could see and be exposed as a new bride. And this dummy is using her for an excuse. I can't come. I just can't go. And he used the poor young bride as an excuse for not going. You know, a lot of people use their children for excuses for not coming to church and serving the Lord. Do you ever hear any of those excuses? With my little children. Well, suppose you didn't have those little children. Suppose you were like thousands and thousands of women today who cannot have a child. And you didn't have any children. You'd find another excuse, wouldn't you? And so we have these two excuses here. And so this servant came and they told the master these words. And the master of the house, he was angry. And he said to his servants, you go out quickly now into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, you go out now into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. There are several things that are very important here. First of all, we have a real responsibility to invite people. Now, you're going to hear all kinds of excuses. You're going to hear some that are probably better than these. But we are not to stop there. You and I must go in a positive attitude, and we must go believing that what we are presenting to the people is what they need. You notice this word when he said that all things are now ready in verse 17. You and I need to understand that God has prepared a feast. It's all ready. It's ready for people to come and to enjoy. And God has made all the preparation through Jesus Christ, that you and I may come and enjoy the good things that he has for us. And then there's another thing we need to know, that in verse 22 through 23, there is room for all. There is room for all. This is something of what he's talking about in John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. What it really means is there's room for all. There's a place for everyone who will come and receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And you and I need to understand this. And as we talk to people and see people, to realize that God's kingdom is able to accommodate all of these people if they will just come. It is sad today when we talk to people that they immediately began to make excuses. But the sad part, I think, is not only do the lost people make excuses for not receiving Christ into their heart, is that so many Christians make excuses for not doing the things God wants us to do. When we talk to some about teaching and serving in different places in the church, many of them will put an excuse up. And you and I need to deal with our own personal lives. What kind of excuse would you give God tonight if He were to put it on your heart and ask you, are you strong in your prayer life now? Are you strong as you used to be? Do you really take time out to really pray and talk to your Lord? I don't mean just a Santa Claus prayer, just asking for everything. But I mean to really pray. And not so much asking God to do something for you, but to ask God, what can you do for Him? You know, if we ever get Christians to turn that thing around and get the right view of it, then you're going to find out what Christianity is all about, because you're never going to enjoy your Christian life until you start doing and not just thinking you have to receive something. It should be more than you just come into church and to enjoy what you call a good show. Now, beloved, I'm not here to entertain you. The choir and Lee is not here to entertain you. We have a ministry to perform for our Lord. And we have a message to proclaim. And when you come and you listen and you drink it in and you study and you pray, then it's your turn to put this into operation. And we need to do more than just take in. We must give, and we learn to do this by praying. How about your study habits in the Bible? How much do you study and read in your Bible daily, especially in comparison to the time you would spend reading the newspaper and looking at TV? I'm sure some of you would be ashamed to list how much time you do these things or maybe other worthless things, and yet you pass up feasting on the Word. You know, when you bypass the Word, you're going to cease to grow and learn, and you're going to become a little bit cold and indifferent. And this may be some of the reasons why some church members are just not growing in their Christian life. The Word is important. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. And not anything was made that was made without Him. In Him was life, and the life was light unto men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The Word. We need to read and study the Word. And to understand it, what would be your excuse for not praying as you should, for not studying the Word as you should, for not being involved in the church as you should? Now, let me tell you, The devil will work overtime in trying to get you to not be active in your church. He will help you dream up new excuses and even join other things so that you will spend time doing other things in other groups, and you won't have time to do the things that God wants you to do. This is where the devil works overtime. Now, we have church members from time to time who have a lot of talents. They have a lot of ability. They can do a lot of wonderful things for God, but somehow they get caught up in other things, and it keeps them from doing what they really could and should be doing for the Lord. It's a matter of growth, and it's a matter of priority. It's a matter of faith. And all of this has to do with our Christian growth. For you who are not tithing, what would be your excuse? Do you know what it really amounts to when you don't tithe? It really means that you don't believe God, that you don't have confidence in His Word when you refuse to tithe. Because the Word says that if you will bring your tithes into the storehouse, God will bless you so much that you won't even be able to keep within all of the blessings He's going to shower upon us. Now, it becomes a matter then, it goes back into your lap. Do you believe this? Do you believe it? Do you believe if you put a tenth of your income on this altar every week that God is going to bless you and keep His Word? Do you see, that's a matter of growth. It's faith. And you know, I have never known a Christian yet who tithed, who regretted it. They always give the testimony, not just because they give their money, but it's what God does for us because we're faithful. And they always are happier people. They're the ones who radiate more. Well, first of all, they don't have to be ashamed of shortchanging God. When the preacher mentions tithing, they can smile, brother, because they're right in there. They don't have to say, oh, you stop talking about that money. Always talking about that money. Well, now, God's going to get your money one way or the other. And you know He can take it anytime He wants to, and we better remember that. Now, you may have a few bills in your pocketbook tonight, but you may not live tomorrow to spend any of it. It all belongs. I don't have a thing in this world. Now, what I have, God just lets me have to enjoy. It all belongs to Him. Even my wife belongs to Him. He just lets me live with her and enjoy her fellowship and her company and companionship. But everything belongs to God. My home belongs to God. Even those old antiques He's let me refinish and make look new, they belong to Him too. Everything belongs to God. And we need to get the story out. You know, in verse 24 now, there's another thought. That is, those who refused to come, but those who rejected the Master's call to come and enjoy this feast. There comes a time when the invitation stops. And I would say to you who may be lost here tonight, God invites you to come and to be saved. And He's prepared everything. This is why Jesus went to the cross. But there's going to come. And if you die in that condition, then according to the Bible, you won't be accepted. And there's no way you can get in. Because Jesus says, I'm the way, and I'm the truth, and I'm the light. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so, I think as a church, you and I need to see that we have a real responsibility here to relate this story over and over again to people, to keep inviting, because we really have God's love letter to the world. That He has prepared this feast and they should come. I read the story where there was a very shy man. He was in love with this young lady and he really wanted to marry her, but somehow he just couldn't stand the thought of a refusal. And he was getting ready to go to India to work with this company. And so he sat down and he wrote her a letter telling her how much he loved her. And he says, if your answer is no, then just don't answer this letter. But he says, if it's yes, then you are to let me know, and then I will come and get you, and we'll be married, and I'll take you to India as my bride. Well, she received his letter, and she sat down and she wrote out her reply of acceptance. That she too loved him and would accept his proposal and be his bride. It was pouring down rain. And so this young lady, her young brother was going out to visit with some friends, and she says, I want to tell you to take this letter and be sure you put it in the post office. And so he had an old coat on that he didn't usually wear because it was raining so hard, and he took the envelope and put it down deep into one of his pockets. And he went on out. And even though he had promised to mail the letter, he went and joined with his friends and he forgot about the letter. And she waited. And she waited. No reply from this young man. And yet her love never ceased for him. She found out later on that he had already married someone else now. And 25 years later, when they were moving to another home, they were cleaning out things and getting things ready to move. She came across this old coat in the closet that had been hanging there for years. And she says, well, I better just check the pockets before we throw it out in the trash. And down, stuffed in the pocket, there was this crinkled, yellowed envelope, still sealed, the stamp was on it, but it had never been mailed. And because of the neglect of her younger brother, he literally wrecked his sister's happiness because the letter was never mailed. You know, you and I have a love letter to deliver from God, for God so loved the world that he gave so much for us. And you and I need to be delivering this. And